protected person in America is the black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the black woman. The most neglected person in America is the black woman.
Black women are the blueprint for literally everything. And they are so quick to fight for other people and put other people first. But yet, they are always the first ones that are judged and disrespected and degraded in this world. And when they are tired of that and they call people out for it, people love to say that, oh, that's just an angry black woman. No, that is not an angry black woman, sir. That is a black woman that is tired of being seen as less than. That is a black woman that is tired of being degraded in this world and being judged because of their skin color. Let's do better, because if it wasn't for black women, a lot of us would be lost right now.
Hey everybody, it's me, Maria, and this is Sisters with Savers. What's up, what's happening? We are trying a new little rotating format, so you're going to see some of us go in and some of us go out. It's going to be a dope time. Tonight we've got a few friends on the line and we are going to talk about Star Wars, if you can believe it. It's so exciting. Who do we have on the line tonight?
Hi, this is Amanda.
Hey, hi, this is Raven.
Hi, this is Portia.
And we're back at it again. I know last episode we talked a little bit about the Thandie Newton article, but we didn't get everyone's voice on it. So I kind of want to let the other ladies share thoughts and opinions tonight on Thandie's article and her stance on her character in Solo. Amanda, why don't you tell us?
It's been a little bit, so I do need a little bit of a refresher, but from what I can recall, I think that what she had to say was important and needed to be said, and that, you know, there's going to be, I think that especially when it comes to, like, a fandom as big as Star Wars, there's going to be all sorts of reactions to anything at all that comes out. I mean, it can be so small, or it can be something that, like, most people see as major. In this case, you know, I think that really, it's something I've thought about, like, just in general, like, even before she said what she said, and really there's not, when it comes to representation in Star Wars, there's so much more room for, like, a lot to be done, and it's irritating to see, like, missed opportunity after missed opportunity after missed opportunity, especially, like, where it seems like there's so, it's like a no-brainer to use that opportunity to, like, you know, improve and get better, because I just know that, like, when it comes to, for instance, like, white women, like, in Star Wars, like, specifically, like, with on screen, I can count so easily the number of characters who are white women. When it comes to black women, that's not easy to do for me, like, because they're just, there's a lot of inequity there, you know, there's just a very, like, obvious imbalance. And I've seen some people, like, and it was ridiculous, respond to, in a sense, like, what I've seen is that some people brought up how, like, well, technically, you know, there was Maz, right? Like, how, you know, she's been alive and everything. But I love Lupita. It's just that when I want to see black women represented, not just through voice, but, like, visual as well, like, in Star Wars, because there, like, it shouldn't have to come to, like, trying so hard to think of people who, you know, are more diverse, who are in Star Wars. Like, it shouldn't have to be so hard compared to how easy it is to think about Daisy Ridley or, you know, Carrie Fisher. And I, not to rag on them, it's just that the imbalance is frustrating. It's very frustrating.
I agree with that. And people can say what they want about it, but voice acting and animated stuff, it's not always seen on the same level as a live action film. Like, it offers a sense of credibility, so to speak, to certain fans. And I feel like, you know, we waited 35 years to get a black woman on screen in a major role in Star Wars, and she dies in the first 30 minutes. Like, it's just not a good look when you look at it on paper. Like, I put a tweet out, like, let's do the math. Like, it's 35 years we've waited to be seen as we are. And like you said, there's a lot to be said for black women being seen as they are, without makeup, without a color over them, you know, without CGI. Like, why can't we exist and be ourselves and be accepted as we are, even if we are on screen? You know, if you have to process your hair, you know, that's harder on the cosplayers. And it's not I don't feel like that's a true acceptance of a black woman, right? Because all of that comes with us. Texture, skin tone, all of that comes with us wherever we go. And so why is that representation not there? It's disheartening, to say the least. And I think it's real easy to say, well, Lupita in an argument, but it just doesn't hold up when you're talking about representation for an entire group of people, when you can name all five of the black actresses in Star Wars on one hand.
And I mean, it's also, you know, important that not only, like, are we seen fully and without the CGI and without, you know, a ton of, like, makeup to try to, you know, make us look like, you know, like it could be like a Wookiee or one of those, like, to just be ourselves, but to also, like, have storylines that are so rich in, you know, like, development, and to have, like, moments in which we can just, like, be happy and see that reflected. I know that happiness in Star Wars, that's got a complicated relationship. But, you know, I mean, it's just something that I would like to see.
Well, I'm happy to jump in with the clap back if no one else will. I will. to the people out there who are whining and complaining about us having this conversation. If it bothers you that we would like to be seen as what we are and who we are, I think what you need to examine is not our attitudes, but yourself. And to remember that when we ask for diversity, when we ask to be represented without makeup, without CGI, as we actually are, we're not attacking anyone. And we're not saying that we hate all Star Wars characters that aren't that. We're just simply saying that there is room in the galaxy for everybody. And for those of you who don't believe that, like, too bad, so sad. You know, get off at the next stop, Mo. We don't need you. It doesn't have to be that way. And we're going to talk about these kinds of things, and we're going to be affected by these kinds of things. And, you know, if our attitude about it or our opinion about it bothers you, I'm sorry, but we're just entirely out of fucks.
Normally, this is the spot in the show when we would do a support assista. We're going to open this up today to be an ally to someone else, because that's really important. Alex was a former member of the Disney World cast, and they were laid off since, and they are having difficulty with housing and such. So I will leave the link to the Ko-fi in the actual show notes. If you can support it all in any small way, that would be amazing. Something to think about: helping a fellow fan in need is always a great opportunity to give karma, and it's fantastic time to do it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, what annoys me about this whole thing is how I tend to forget a lot of times that Lupita is in Star Wars. And not only that, but also James Earl, who plays the voice of Darth Vader. I mean, you tend to forget that sometimes because they're erasing us from these parts in these movies by hiding these black actors behind, you know, a mask or a character. And like everybody else said, the color, a different color. It needs to be, I mean, we're in the 21st century. Things need to be changed. Like, we shouldn't have to sit up here and ask for this. This should be what it is. I mean, America is literally a gumbo of people from all over the world. And Star Wars should be a place where it should be a gumbo as well, full of people from everywhere, different color, different skin color, not colorful, but, you know, we need black and brown people that need to be represented the right way and not pushed aside as, you know, the savior for the white character and stuff.
And also, that brings to mind, too, another thing, like, to on the flip end of that, I also don't really want to see, like, you know, a lot of white savior syndrome. So not just black and brown people saving white people, but white people, you know, often or always, you know, saving black and brown. It just seems comes across so much that as white savior syndrome, and I do not like to see that. You know, I mean, it's just, there's certain things that need to be, like, done. Like, you know, like, it's important that we have our own agency. It's important that, you know, we are able to, you know, be shown having our own unique storylines, like, carried out, followed through, added on, developed through, and not, like, you know, be reduced to, like, somebody who's, like, constantly chasing around, like, the white character. Because, I mean, that was one of the, like, biggest points of irritation. Come on, Finn. And I hate talking about this movie. I really do. But I really do. But that was one of my many points of irritation with TROS is, like, almost the whole time, it was like Finn was chasing around Rey and saying her name so much. Like, that's not what I want to see. Like, it was so irritating. And I know, and I say almost because, yeah, he was shown doing other things as well. But, like, it was, and it has been a running joke among people how, like, his main line is Rey. And that's so frustrating to me, like, deeply frustrating.
And don't tell us that we should be grateful. Stop it with that gratefulness. Because this here, that there, it that really pisses me off. What are we grateful for? What is there to be grateful?
Come on.
It's just, I see a black person on the screen, but what are they doing? They're chasing around this white person, like Amanda said, shouting out Rey's name constantly. That's all he was known for. Instead of being a character of his own self, finding out who he is as a person after he ended up, you know, leaving the, you know, the First Order. And I'm just like, there's nothing to be grateful if a black character doesn't have a character development. There has to be something there. We can't be grateful for that. And killing off a character so easily, like, okay, this person dies. Why? That shouldn't be something we should be grateful for. So please stop it with that, white people. Thank you.
Well, have you guys followed Keith Trennis's character? Have you guys been following?
I haven't been up on the High Republic. I'm just going to be real with you.
Okay. Well, I'm starting to get into it now. I had been stacking up my Audible credits and going to the comic book store and stuff. I really love her design. I think she turned out beautiful. I remember we had issues with, like...
Yeah, she did.
In the beginning, we had issues with it. And when I'm reading the comics, I just really love her. And she's very strong. But I find her really beautiful, and I love that she, for me, I don't know, I feel very represented with that character. So I'm on a positive note, my point is I hope that, with the High Republic, if the High Republic goes on screen, I think there's really great opportunity, because there's not just Keith Trennis, and again, I'm just getting into it, but there's a lot more, characters of color in the High Republic. And so I think that's just a really good opportunity where it's like, hey, like, this can be on screen. And I think it's awesome to have the representation in the comics. I think that is cool, but I feel like the comics don't reach a wider audience. And I think that, I think it would be nice, obviously, to see the representation on screen in the mainstream, you know, and not like as just aliens or things that make pounds of makeup and special effects makeup on, like, real human people, black people, you know? So I'm excited for the future of Star Wars, but it's just like, I just feel like we're at this point in history where it's like, you really got to be just trying to fuck up at this point. So just, so like, we're watching, we're waiting. I'm hopeful. From what I see in the content, I'm hopeful, but on the screen, it's like, let's not fuck this up. Let's not kill off these black women. I mean, we all know Star Wars has an issue with killing off women, but it's like, come on, like, come on, let's move forward. And I think the High Republic has a lot of like strong women. So I'm really curious to see how their stories end.
I would second that. I think High Republic is really good for that. I remember
there was a line about Keef Trennis in Dooku.
No, you're good. I'm sorry. I delay. I was just going to say I agree entirely about High Republic.
Go ahead and say it
again. Yeah, High Republic is getting so much. It's better in that regard as far as representation. And there is a chance, as Liv said, you know, once you bring it to the screen for people who aren't going to read the books or the comics or whatever the case may be, I think there's a real opportunity there. And I am hopeful for the future because I do think that these things, even, you know, just talking about this, it's what needs to happen. People need to see that these are the things that need to change. And I am hopeful that this kind of reaction to things is going to impact them, hopefully, when they are, you know, making those decisions. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that won't happen. But I'm hoping that it will. And I do, you know, and I've said it a million times, you know, change is slow, and we don't want to just plug people in to say we plugged people in either. So, you know, we want to see change. They need to make change. But at the same time, you know, we can't go back and change what they've already done. You know what I mean? We have to do better going forward. And that's why these things need to be discussed. So, sorry for the delay there, guys.
No, you're totally fine. Thank you. Yeah, I think High Republic has a lot to offer. I haven't read much of it yet. Like I said, I listened to the Dooku audio drama, and there was like a mention of her, and I was like, and I'm like, oh, that's my girl. And they didn't say anything else, and I was like, damn. But it was exciting for me to hear her name mentioned. Getting back to the actual article, I read it again. Two nights ago, and I wonder, like, what stopped Thandi from voicing her concern? She said she thought this was a big mistake when she found out that they killed the character, and it just made me ask the question to myself, like, what kind of environment is Disney running over there to the point where this black woman doesn't feel that she can voice a legitimate concern she has about representation of black folks on screen? That's concerning for me. So I wonder if she was fearful of, you know, just losing the job altogether or what the case is. But I really think it's important for Disney to start at least asking the actors, if nothing else, how do you feel, you know, about this? And getting more people involved in making those decisions instead of just letting one person make those decisions. Getting, if not, just getting the feedback so that you know, like, what you're getting yourself into if you truly want to just have Finn out in the desert screaming Rey for 2 hours. You know, at least you know now before you get on screen what we think about that. You know, ask us. We will tell you. That shit ain't working. And I mentioned this last time also, Solo was a really good opportunity to show how Han became the well-rounded man of the universe we see in episode 4, right? He comes off as like the older, mature brother that's been hanging out in college for a little bit in A New Hope. And for me, that reads like he's had a lot of life experience with different individuals. How dope would it have been if his mentor was a black woman? It adds credibility to that sense of, I'm a man of the world. You know, I've studied abroad. I've traveled. And I have life experience. What better way to get that across in a film where you've only got 90 minutes to tell a story than to slide Thandie Newton into that role where Woody Harrelson was? And Woody still gets paid. He gonna cash a check regardless. You know, I just thought that would have been so interesting for that character. And even if she died that way at the end in that role of Beckett, I think that death is a little bit more substantial, right? Because she's made the imprint on him already. She's made the impact. She's taught the lesson to him before she dies. So either way, those characters both die, but I feel like there's a lot more relevancy if the roles were swapped there.
Now my question is, like, is she really dead? Because they could still bring her back.
Come on! You better come through! We were talking about that last week. How dope would it be if Thandie came back in Solo 2? And now she's, you know, got a mask on or whatever. She's burnt up, you know. And she's back for revenge. And now she's working with Crimson Dawn. Like, that's fire.
Yes.
Thandie
later. Because, like,
that solves a lot of problems, right? Black representation on film. Why are there no Negroes that are bad? You know, it solves a lot of problems at the same time. And it gives us a complex story, right? We're not just back because of no good reason. We're out for revenge, right? It solves a lot of problems. I'd really like to see that.
Yeah, like, I was just reading into, who was it? It was a DC character last night. Jason Todd. He died and he came back. And
that's a spoiler.
Sorry. Sorry to all the people who are trying to read into DC about Jason Todd. I'm sorry.
He's 25 years old. Don't worry about it.
But I was reading into that. And then, like, since you brought that up, I'm like, okay, well, Jason Todd died. He comes back. He comes back for revenge. He's like, I'm here to kill Joker. Like, she should come back as badass as that. Like, I'm so serious. That would be so fucking dope, man. Like, they really should do that. Like, we really didn't see how she died. We just saw an explosion in the background. They were like, oh no, she died. But did she? Like, come on. Disney, Lucasfilm, Star Wars, y'all gotta do it. Like, come on.
Come on. No one's ever really gone, right? Come on, bitch. You know you want to do it. That would be dope. She didn't even get, like, a heartfelt goodbye. It was like, it's been real. Like,
it's gonna be pain. I'm gonna have to finish this off from right here.
What?
It's been a ride, babe. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. No! No!
Why didn't you just say thanks for the dick? Like, I mean, that was the next step, right? Like, it was so weird the way that she was just done. I'm like, what is this about? Like, and Woody Harrelson's not exactly my type, but, you know, if they've been together for a while, they got some sort of relationship, you know, I love you, you know, I know, maybe that, I don't know.
Something happened, I believe. Something happened. Either it was a one-night stand, a little one drunk one-night stand. I'm like, okay, we're not going to talk about this again. It happened. Just let it happen. We're just going to go on like it's nothing. Something happened, I'm sure.
Got real quiet.
The silence is killing me. Somebody say something, please.
Any other news? Any other thoughts? Comments? Concerns?
Anything.
I haven't been on Twitter. I've been very disconnected from the world of Star Wars. So I'm just here for the fun. Here for the ladies. Here for the lovely women. I could just be in the presence of.
I want to talk about Zendaya. Fuck all this. I want to talk about Zendaya because she want us to eat and I'm with it. Cast Zendaya in Star Wars immediately. Whoever's listening to this, Lucasfilm, my cousin Zendaya wants to talk to you about Star Wars. Please call her and fix all this shit.
Yeah, please get sis up in there. I love her. I love her. Absolutely love her. I think she'd do great in Star Wars. But I'm
here. Yes, she would. I mean, this girl here, I mean, I remember watching her like a little bit of, what was it, Casey Undercover on Disney? And she stayed on there for a while. And I used to watch that. But her acting is phenomenal. If y'all have not seen Euphoria on HBO Max, go and watch it, because that girl played the hell out of that role as an addict. And I was like, what the fuck? That shit was like
perfection. She fucked me up as Rue. I would name my child after her character Rue in that show. I love that show. It's so crazy. A lot of people, there's like a lot of criticism about that show. But shit, man. The music in that show too is amazing. But her acting, she's great. And I'm biased just because, you know, she's from the Bay. So, hey. I'm biased.
But she would be good in the Star Wars. Like, she really needs to. But I just love how she's using her privilege as this Black woman who's passing in Hollywood, who's constantly getting all these roles. And she's using this opportunity to want to get more Black women in the industry. I mean, she's been saying this for a long time since I can remember. But she's been saying it for a while. And it's just, I love it. That's what I'm talking about. Like, you have the power to do something, you do it. Don't just sit by and be like, oh, we need more representation of dark and brown skinned women, and then don't do anything about it. But I'm getting my money, I'm getting paid, because look at me, I'm passing by just because of the color of my skin. I get away with this. I'm good. I don't have to worry about that. Use the privilege, please. And Zendaya, thank you. I love you, girl. I love you.
I think to me, one of the interesting things, and I say interesting, it's not unexpected, but it's like irritating nevertheless, is, you know, when I saw like the news and everything that was going on with that, I was kind of busy with offline stuff, but I saw a post by one of the film like Twitter accounts that I usually keep up with. And apparently, like, all in the replies, there's just a bunch of white people complaining and asking, isn't this racist and stuff? But then those same people were very quiet when, you know, you had posts like Tim Burton addressing how he's not going to cast, you know, darker skinned people in his works. And, you know, they won't talk about how, I can't remember her last name, I just know her first name is Greta. She primarily works with, you know, just women. And these people are very quiet about those instances, but then they'll come up and say something here. And, you know, it's like, no, what Zendaya is doing, like, if you're saying that's racist, you're absolutely missing the point. And, you know, it's not just that, but it's also, they're the racists themselves. Like, these white people are the racists themselves. That's, you know, you can't. They're crying racist at somebody else. In reality, they need to look in a mirror. But, you know, I think that it's also another thing that I want to say is that it's really important that she has this passion, determination, and drive to do this, because she knows, and she's expressed this, that it's not going to be easy to make that, you know, and put that into, like, make that an actuality. Like, to, it's not... It's something I fully believe she can and will do, but the path to that won't be easy because, you know, already there's a ton of people like in film school who go to film school and are stuck, and, you know, it's very difficult for them to go ahead and get in the industry. But it's not just that general issue. There's also the matter of, you know, even though she has a lot, you know, of credibility and everything in the industry because of, you know, how long she's been working and how prolific she is. The thing is that, you know, she's still up against systemic racism in the industry. And that's going to be a very difficult hurdle for her to overcome. And it's not a hurdle that's just going to be overcome once. You know, it's going to happen again and again and again. And it's, you know, I think it'll be, you have to applaud her, like, when. I don't think it's going to be an if, it's going to be when. And she will overcome that. And you have to applaud her for not only having a desire, but when she, you know, makes each of those films, to go ahead and applaud her for that, because she really deserves her flowers. Like, really, really, really does.
Yeah, dear white people, let us have this one thing. You get everything. Representation is everywhere for you. For us color people, it's not there. So just let us have this moment, okay? Just go about and cry about it in a corner, because nobody gives a fuck what you say, okay? Thank you.
Well, the other thing is, like, the Klan, they're still making films. If you want to get on a project with them, you should reach out and see when you can get on the next Klan project, whenever the KKK does their next documentary or whatever it is they're going to do. Like, that opportunity hasn't gone anywhere for white folks. If you want it, it's still there and available for you. I'm so proud of Zendaya. And you know what? This is nothing new for black women. Anytime we wanted a door open, we opened it our damn selves. And we let others through. Come on, Oprah. Come on, Beyonce. Come on, Diana Ross. Come on, Mariah Carey. Okay? I don't always agree with everything that every one of those women had to say, but I'll be damned if they didn't open a door for another black woman. Okay? That's all that's been happening. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, white folks, but it's always us taking care of us. Come on, Tyler Perry. You know, come on. And you can say what you want about Tyler Perry. He's not perfect either. None of us are. We're all human. But he has opened the door for a lot of black women. Okay? I mean, that's just the facts. Come on, Tiffany Haddish. You know, it's always us. It's always us. Come on, Tyra Banks. Come on. It's always us. We open the doors for each other. Sometimes it's not even black men. Sometimes black men won't open the door. Straight up and down. Leave us out in the cold. It's a sister that comes and we save the day for each other, okay? Come on, somebody. Come on, old girl from Martin. Gina and old girl. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Somebody. There's got to be one witness. Somebody out here is listening to this right now and they know exactly what I'm talking about and they popping their fingers and it's probably Brian from Pink Milk. But you know what? That's all right. That's all right. But it's always us opening the door for us. Why the hell is that?
We're our own saviors. We're our own saviors.
Right? I'm Ray looking in the mirror and all I can see is Oprah, Beyonce, Mariah Carey, Patti LaBelle. You know, it's us. Come on, somebody.
Because if we don't step up, like, nobody else ain't going to do it. We got to step up and do it. We got to do it. We're the only ones that's going to step up and do our shit. And when we do our shit, we come hard. We come hard.
Period. Period.
And then
come
people
on.
Get mad when we come out as hard as somebody else. Oh, she did this and that. Well, she had to do it this and that so fucking late. She got there. She worked her assholes twice as hard as your little favorite white singer, actress, or whoever. They get an easy way through in Hollywood. Black people don't. We have to work twice as hard. Even not just in Hollywood, but just on our jobs, at home, just every fucking where we go, we have to work twice as hard as the next person. And that's what these white people don't understand. We have to work hard. You have a privilege. You can easily move up in a position. Just, oh, you did a great job last month. How about we give you this position? And this black woman who's been working her ass off for 10 years, 10 years, has been trying to get in that position.
Hi, how you doing?
Maria.
I'm right here. I've been here the whole time. Hi, how you doing? Right?
10 like,
years
we're
I've been
here.
Working there. Never going to be manager. Never going to be manager. The cleaning guy, he's an old white man with a limp. He'll be the manager before me, and he can't read. They'll put him in the chair first. Because fuck it. You know? It's just... But that's the truth. That's the truth. It's a long, hard, arduous road for black women. It really is. You know, and then I started looking up, like, black women in general and black beauty. Like, do you know that we were the first people to have an inspired fragrance? So you know how J-Lo, Kardashians, they all got fragrances. Patti LaBelle was the first singer to develop her own fragrance. And of course, everybody followed after that. It was interesting too that black women developed the first makeup for us, right? And no one wanted to carry it in the store. But what it did is it helped spin off this new thing that at the time was called a deep blush that we now call bronzer. Interesting. The more you know, bitch. There it is. I'm sorry. I'm just so hot about this topic that I just can't. Like, and Amanda's right. I looked into replies and Twitter and I'm just like, nigga, please. Like, all of you sit down. It's not racist. She wants to open the door for people. She's not saying she's going to slam the door in a white person's face. She's saying she wants to create opportunities where there aren't any right now. Okay? And, you know, to her point, Tim Burton ain't had no problem. Ain't nobody said nothing. And we all know what his standard of beauty is and what he thinks is attractive. It's thin, it's pale, it's pasty. You know, there's only one physique that he really works with. That's problematic.
Wes Anderson would be another director, I believe, as well, to add to that list of not wanting to have black people.
I don't know anything about Wes Anderson.
Oh my gosh, which movie he's made? He's made movies like The Grand Budapest Hotel, Fantastic Mr. Fox. I can't remember any other ones, but those are like the only ones that I know. And I was a fan of him before until I found out about that, and I was like, oh.
Well, it doesn't sound like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, not really. I'll tell you that. You're really not. But yeah, I just wanted to add that to the list. And another thing, too, to the white people. Just because you don't see it happening to you does not mean it does not exist. Okay? It's happening to us. It's happening. It does not exist. It's real. It's just not real in your world because you don't experience it. Okay? So, thank you for listening again.
What do you mean? I can't see air, so it must not exist, right? Right? It's ridiculous. Yeah. Since we're plugging stuff, go watch Fast Color and get the hell out of here. You want to watch a black woman superhero movie? Go watch Fast Color. All right. I'm done. Anybody else got final thoughts? We're going to close this motherfucker up. You know, we done said it all.
I'm just going to say, Maria, that I don't think it was an intentional tell him, sis, but you went the fuck off. You went the fuck off. That's my sis right there.
But I'm just real, though.
I was like,
I'm here, though. I'm like,
shut him down. Shut him
down. We ain't even trying to do shit but live. We not doing nothing. We didn't ask y'all for shit that you ain't already getting your damn self. You know? Mm-hmm. And then I have to sit back and I've been thinking about the stimulus, right? Like, okay, so you mean to tell me that the government would sign off on something if it was deemed a crisis that was impacting a lot of people? You mean like reparations? No, because it ain't impacting white folks, right? Mm-hmm. So the pandemic is impacting white folks, so we need to break a check off. So this just, you know, further confirms the fact for me that we'll never see reparations. It's like, wow, you can really just do that? Like, so why didn't we do this in the 80s? We could have been done this. Because that's a leg to stand on, right? I actually work in a field where there's a stipend benefit being offered to individuals because of the pandemic, right? There's a certain amount of finances from the government that are being placed on certain individuals' accounts simply by saying I'm impacted by the pandemic and I'm in a low-income area. I'm like, okay. I'm like, but black folks been low-income all our lives. You know what I mean? So where we at? You got time to break off these checks for all these people, but you still can't come up off reparations? You know what I mean? I'm like,
all my life I had to fight.
Yep. Go off.
They ain't gotta fight for shit. They could just stand there and be pretty. Oh, you get this job. Here you go.
The other thing that, like, irritates me is how... It's hard to, like, just keep it short, but I'm gonna try. White people have been reacting to everything that's going on in Texas because there's a bigger, like, thing going on than what they just see at face value. And the way also, the way that they're, you know, referring to it, it's very white-centric, the way how they're discussing it. Like, these discussions, like, you know, not to get, like, too deep, but, you know, they talk about how, you know, it's The Handmaid's Tale or something like that. And all of those takes ignore how Black women have been historically treated, how Black women are currently being treated, and how we know Black women are still going to be treated. And they also ignore, like, the fact that The Handmaid's Tale is, there's, like, an erasure of, you know, experiences of women of color. And it's, like, inserting white women. It's like a self-insert, but for white women. And, you know, that's what's going on. And they're referring to what happened, what's going on in Texas through that lens. And, you know, it's a lot of, like, you know, there's just different things going on with that. And, like, kind of parallel to that, like, is how they want to, like, you know, they're focusing on, okay, well, we have to vote to make this happen. But there's a lot of white people who are still seeing, like, Black voters, please save us. And I'm just like, no. Like, seriously, it shouldn't be on us to save them. Like, at the end of the day, like, when I vote, I'm not voting to save white people, really. That's not it. I'm voting to protect me, the people I care about. Like, I am trying to get out alive, try to be happy somewhere along the way. And it's not about saving white people. It's just so frustrating. You know, just, I need to stop myself there. But yeah.
That part right there. You're right. Just like the Civil War wasn't about freeing Black folks. Can I keep it real with you? Listener, okay? It really wasn't about me. That shit had nothing to do with me and mine, baby. You just needed more hands to carry more guns. You didn't give a fuck about us. All of a sudden, you care about us. We've been working out in the yard for 200 years. Now you give a fuck about what we got going on? Hell nah. I don't buy that shit for a second. And it's the and what Amanda's saying is relevant, okay? Because the same thing happens in Outlander. You know, there's an erasure of Black folks in our struggle. Like, it's real easy to just sidestep it because it's so inconvenient. Oh, darn it. I want to envision myself as a strong, powerful woman, gosh darn it. And I'm a female empowered woman. So I'm going to just ignore this nasty little racism because I'm not a racist. But if you're not doing anything to help, you're racist. Okay, it's not enough to say I'm not a racist anymore. What are you doing to help? Okay, who did you put over in your job this week that's Black? Who did you help get a job that's Black? Who did you help to get somewhere that's Black? Who did you vouch for that's Black? You know, my husband's a real estate agent, right? He just decided to become a realtor. And he's helping Black realtors because when the house goes up, and it gets listed. Sometimes if it's a Black person's home, it's not valued as much. So he'll go in and place pictures of his family or whatever he can to help that family get that house sold at a reasonable dollar amount. That's what I'm talking about when I say anti-racist, right? You got to go in and you've got to do something to help. Period. Point blank, period. And, you know, it's so interesting how people sidestep the fact that Black women were experimental guinea pigs for what we now know as female gynecology, right? Like, we paid the price for that. You're welcome. Not fun. Not cool. It really sucks. And it's just, I don't know. I don't know what they want us to do. We've given, all right? We've given 200 years, ma'am. We've given. That's all I could tell you, is we've done our part. We really have. And it's like, okay, Handmaid's Tale, I get it. But it's like, I feel like in our media alone, there's this agenda to sort of put
the black experience onto white folks and all of a sudden people fucking care. You know, remember that time in Pretty Woman where Julia Roberts was treated like a black woman and everybody gave a fuck and felt bad for her? It's like black women are treated like that today when they go into a fucking store. Like, and it's not the 80s. And no one seems to give a shit. You know, it's just so weird to me how all of these, you know, shows and books and movies portray these issues. District 9, you know, these people are being pushed out of their area, but there's no way that could have happened to brown people. Actually, bitch, it did. It did happen to brown folks. But you don't care about that, but you sympathize with this goddamn guy who becomes an alien. It's infuriating to me.
What about us, though? Like, yeah, you're losing reproductive rights, but you can still easily go to another state. A sister might not have that option, right? What if she ain't got no people? What if she don't got the money? You know what I mean? You know, her options are severely limited, you know? So try to see it outside of yourself. It's so weird to me how everybody just ignores that. Like, we've been struggling for so long and so hard. And like Dr. King, what did he die, like 40 years ago or some shit? 40, 50 fucking years ago, and we still not free? Are you fucking shitting me? If this happened to white folks, they'd be picketing. They would have stormed the Capitol a lot sooner. Okay? It doesn't make sense to me. But I'm not trying to minimize what's going on in Texas at all. I understand that there's a lot of people that are impacted by that. And I think it's all just a response to the election, right? So people are just working to undermine those people who voted against, right? In any way they can. Hopefully it's, that turns around.
Some of it too, like it's kind of like deep, but it's a discussion like my dad and I have had too, is that the underlying motive for what's going on in Texas is tied to the census and the results that came from the census. And there's this fear from, and it's been here for a long time, not all white people, but I'm just going to, you know, when I say white people, I don't mean all white people, but white people, that, you know, of white people becoming the minority and whiteness fading out. And, you know, because it's predicted that I think the year is like 2045, that on the, if things like, you know, as things are continuing, like white people are going to be the minority. And white people are very, white people in power are very fearful of that, tied to how they fear that, you know, there may be some sort of quote unquote retaliation, how they put it, of, you know, people of color, you know, coming after white people for how we have been treated by white people. And white people don't want to see the consequences of their own actions and the actions of their ancestors. So there's this big push to grow the white population and to fight back and, you know, stop or delay white people from becoming the minority. And that's the underlying thing about this. It's a very, you know, feeding into white supremacy, exacerbating racism and everything. Like, that's what the underlying motive of these abortion laws are. And it's just, you know, again, none of what I say either is meant to diminish or trivialize, you know, the fact that women of all color, you know, all women are being impacted by these awful, awful, awful laws. But it's harder for women of color because, and specifically black and brown women, because, you know, the inaccessibility, all these different challenges that Maria mentioned, and then also the fact that, you know, when you have it in mind what this underlying motive is, it's a lot of white people essentially trying to, you know, fearing black people, fearing brown people, trying to cling so desperately to white supremacy. And that knowledge is like, it's just, there just really aren't any words to describe how, like, very disturbing, disgusting, and stuff that is. So it's not just about, it can't be simplified by saying, you know, men just want to control women. Like, that's not untrue, but it's also white people don't want to become the minority. And that's, yeah.
To those people who feel that way, that they would use this as a tactic to try to do that, I just want to share with you really quickly that black pussy is too good for somebody to pass up. There ain't nothing you can do to stop that. I'm just, hey, it's me. It's your girl. We're just having a conversation. Just me and you. Okay? That's not it. That's not it. You're not going to stop us that way. Because he going to come back again next week. Your man going to come through. Your brother going to come through. Your cousin going to come through. Even if we don't put the ring on it, he going to come through. Because it's good. It's just good. If he fucking with me, then he know he going to obey. Pussy finger licking good like I mixed it with obey. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate you.
And on that note.
Socials.
This is Amanda. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Haunted Manda.
This is Liv. You can find me on Twitter at Olive Gelato.
Hi, this is Portia. You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Portia Ariel.
Hi, this is Raven. You can find me on Twitter at Jennabella J.
Thank you, ladies, for joining us. If you're still with us, we appreciate you staying with us to the end of the show. We will be on Broaxium, which by now, if you haven't already heard it, it'll be happening next week on September 12th. Right, Raven? Keep me honest. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you on the next one. And remember, it ain't gonna eat itself.
Gold!
Oh my God. Amanda set me up. I was like, oh no, I gotta say this. This is what happens when you put me behind a mic. And I'm just gonna have to keep it real one time with all of y'all.
Yeah, I had a feeling it was coming.
Come on, Classy Spice. She's like, you know.
Classy Spice, that is a good
yes,
one.
Yes,
I like
Amanda.
That.
She beat a Classy Spice. You see her on Instagram. Oh my God, she looked like a cute little China doll. Brown skin girl, the skin just like hers. The best thing in the world. Never change it for anybody else. Singing brown skin girl, the skin just like hers. The best thing in the world. I never change it for anybody else. Singing. She says she really grew up poor like me. Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed for ever be nobody wifey. Yeah. She wanna be not pretty, but your heart is a mess. Play you like a villain, cause she caught in a way. Tonight, I am walking away. Line to my mind and I grind, yeah, yeah. Tonight, I might fall in love. Depending on how you owe me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like hers. Your back against the world. I never judge you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, your skin just like hers. The best thing in all the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Pose like a trophy when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin. Pretty like Lupita when the camera's closing. Trip broke 11 when my Kelly's rolling. I think tonight she might pray her praise. Melanin too dark to call her shade. She brings her business and winds her ways. Roll like 24K. Okay. Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fighting but falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never trade you for anybody else. A brown skin girl. Got skin just like pearls. The best thing about the world. I never trade you for anybody else. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Wish you could trade eyes with me. Cause there's complexities in complexion. But your skin is glow like diamonds. Dig me like the earth, you be giving birth to everything alive, baby, know your worth.